Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Sometime after 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was looking at my notes and the outlines that the Lord had given me for tonight. And the Lord says, that's not going to work tonight. So I had to develop a whole nother outline according to the Lord's leadership. It's about that same time that we were receiving a text from Sister Sandy that I had my volume turned off on my phone, which I didn't get when I should have. So it was an interesting time of the day. We're still looking at the thought of what we believe about salvation. I'm going to keep with our practice. I'd like to ask a man of the church to read for us tonight. Which one of our men are going to volunteer tonight? Brother Derek, going to volunteer? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 24, if you would, and we'll all follow along.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Thank you, brother. We believe that all men, without exception, are dead in their trespasses and sins, and are all totally depraved. We believe that God has chosen a people in Christ unto salvation. And we believe that Jesus Christ died for each one of those that were given him and placed in him before the foundation of the world. We believe that God saves every one of those that he has chosen in time, according to his time, that he saves them completely. When a person is brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are completely saved, all by and according to God's grace. And we believe that once saved, always saved. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. We believe in the perseverance of the saints to the time of Christ, the day of Christ, the return of Christ. We believe in the preservation of the saints. So if this is all true, what responsibility do we have? What part has God ordained for us? Why bother witnessing? Why bother preaching? Why bother being a missionary Baptist church? If man is without hope and can do nothing about his condition, and only those that God has chosen to save are going to ultimately end up being saved, why bother if God is sovereign and in control of all of this? We're going to look at the means through which God brings souls to salvation. We're going to consider the instrumentality that God uses to bring his chosen people to faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our time together tonight, we're going to look at the Word of God. And into the Word of God, mostly concerning the Word of God. It is the Word. It is this book that you hold within your hands tonight. The power of salvation is found. The instrument that he has placed in our hand and committed to us as a church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're obligated and we're responsible to preach and to teach the Word of God. Just as none will be saved unless God has chosen them their salvation, none will ever be saved that God has chosen the salvation without the Word, without this book that we hold within our hands. We're going to journey through many verses tonight and look into the Word of God, to the secret that brings about the salvation of a soul. everyone here at this hour who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has had this book effectually work upon them and empower them to salvation. And if that's not your testimony, you're not saved. There is no salvation without the Word of God being the instrument in God's hands. And if you're here and you're lost, and there are many lost, many, many lost, we're going to look into the Word of God. And we're going to, by the grace of God, keep it as simple as we can to see what God has to say about the role that this book holds in your hope of salvation. I've said this a few times over the years, and I have never felt the need to apologize for it. So I'll say again tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, give me your undivided attention. Give me all that you have as far as listening. Humanly speaking, all that is within your power to hear what we're going to look at. Because you're going to hear of how salvation happens, how salvation occurs. I've said it before, and I try to say it consistent in the same context. You're going to hear tonight once again the greatest message you're ever going to hear, the most important message, the most needed message you have as an individual, if you're here without Christ, the most needed message that you need as an individual, you're going to hear it tonight. What sets you apart from others that are here? What sets you apart from those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You're going to hear what makes that difference. In the book of Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of his death, burial, and resurrection for sinners, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I've seen this passage of Scripture in a little bit of different light this past week or so. Paul is writing to the Romans, writing to, I believe, a church that was located now at Rome, to people he had never seen before, most likely didn't know, but to save folks at Rome, which was probably the most sophisticated place the most advanced place that would have been on the face of this earth at this time. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire. And he says to these folks that he's not coming with something new. He's not coming with something revolutionary. He's not coming with something with a lot of pizzazz or something that's going to impress them. But when he went to Rome, he was going to preach the gospel. Same old gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, dying for sinners. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it was the power of God unto salvation. I think about that description, the power of God. I try to get a grasp of what all that is involved in that description. All power belongs to God. All power belongs to the Lord. All power can be seen as dwelling in the Holy Spirit. And when a soul is saved, they're saved because the Holy Spirit quickens. The Holy Spirit makes them alive. We could say the Holy Spirit is the power that brings about one's salvation. But here the gospel is called the power of God. And I've kind of come to this conclusion that the gospel, as it's described here as the power of God unto salvation, is like a stick of dynamite. And within a stick of dynamite, there's great power. There's great power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I see this stick of dynamite representing the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit reaches down. When a soul is going to be saved, and the gospel has been preached, the Holy Spirit reaches down and lights the fuse on that most powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. And that stick of dynamite explodes with all of its power displayed, resulting in the salvation of a soul. We can't remove God or the Holy Spirit from the equation of salvation. And we can't refuse the fact that the gospel is called the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is preached. The death, burial, and resurrection for sinners is lifted up. The cross is lifted up before all to see. And that gospel has the power to change lives, the power to save souls, the power to make right and to reconcile one with God. And you need to understand, my lost friend, the power of salvation is in the gospel. May the Holy Spirit ignite that power, even tonight, to explode within your life and reveal to you your need of a Savior, your need of Jesus Christ. Cause you to repent and turn from your sins. Make you alive in Christ. Cause you to believe. It is the power of God unto salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul writes to Timothy and he calls Timothy to remember the holy scriptures, the word of God, that which he had been taught when he was young. And he tells us that the holy scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's speaking of that power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The word of God, the scriptures, are able to make you wise unto salvation. It doesn't matter how dead you are, how lost you are, how without hope you are. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the scriptures, are able to make you wise unto salvation. Open your eyes to be a new creature in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, I didn't come with fancy words and speeches, and I didn't come seeking to impress you with my oratory skills. I came not with excellency of speech or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. I came with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I wanted to be known for. That's all I wanted you to hear. Because there wasn't any power in the Apostle Paul. There wasn't any power in his message preparation. The power is in the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, dying, buried, and risen again. He determined not to know anything among those Corinthians when he first came, except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. He didn't seek to impress anybody. Amen. He understood it had nothing to do with him or his presentation or his preparation of a message. The power was in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The power was in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He didn't come with words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in demonstration of power. That your faith may not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Your only hope of being saved is through the gospel, hearing the gospel, and having that gospel explode in all of its power, affecting this change, this new creation within you. The scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. You need not man's wisdom or to be impressed by man. But you need to hear about Christ and Him crucified. Because when you hear the gospel, which contains the power of God unto salvation, and it explodes within your life with all of its power and all of its force, then your faith doesn't rest within something man-made, which is always going to fail. But your faith rests in the power of God. Goes back to this thought of security. We're kept by the power of God. When we're saved through the preaching of the gospel, when we're saved because of the power that is found and is said to be in the gospel, then we're kept by that same power. We're safe and we're secure and we're preserved and we're persevering in the faith because of that power. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. When God sends rain upon this earth and God sends the snow upon this earth, they come forth and they accomplish that purpose for which they were sent. And God's word is just like the rain and just like the snow that He directs and that He sends upon the earth. It will accomplish that which He has directed it to accomplish. It will accomplish that which He has sent it to accomplish. It shall accomplish, verse number 11 says, and it shall prosper, because there's power in the gospel. There's great power in the word of God. And a soul is saved and forever brought into relationship with God through the gospel, through the power of the gospel. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 29 tells us the word of God is like a fire. The word of God is like a hammer. The word of God is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 tells us the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God can lay a person open. The word of God can reveal their sin unto them, make it plain as can be before their eyes. The word of God can work upon a sinner and open their eyes to the reality that they are a sinner. All the talk that they've heard all of the years about sin and sinners and sinfulness, the Word of God has the power to open them up to see, that's me they're talking about. I need a Savior. The Word of God can reveal to you your sinfulness, can reveal to you and will reveal to you your sinful condition before God, your need of a Savior. And that same Word that opens you up and says, you're a sinner, says, there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. And He died upon the cross. Not to try, but He died upon the cross to save sinners. And the Word of God can work salvation within the most wicked and vile of sinners. We know that's true because Paul held himself up as the worst of all sinners, the chief of all sinners, a persecutor of the Lord's church, a hater of Christians. Approving of the stoning of beloved disciple Stephen. And the gospel had the power to save the apostle Paul's soul. Had the power. It was able. And it came, as we say, in power as he was traveling on the road to Damascus. Great light shined around about him, blinding him, casting him to the ground, and his crying out to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? That was miracle power. It changed the Apostle Paul from an enemy of Christ to a disciple of Christ, to a hater of Christians, to being a Christian himself. It's quick, it's powerful. But this power we speak of, as we consider man's condition, man's need of a Savior and God having a chosen people to salvation and Jesus having died for them, and the ultimate end of those 5 points being, how does he save? How does he affect this new creation in a person? It's not by way of just having the word on paper. But it comes about by having the word preached. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why did Paul tell him to preach the word? Because it's the word that had the power. It's the word that has the power. It brings about the salvation of souls and the changing of lives. And it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. You don't need me. You don't need me standing here. Anybody can be standing here. But if you're lost, you do need a preacher. You do need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is how God has chosen to save those that He has elected and that Christ has died for, that He's going to save completely in time and that He's going to keep saved. God has designed to reach those through the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. So get past me. Get your eyes off of me or thinking anything of me. Just see your need of a preacher. Irregardless of who it was or who it is. And your need of hearing the word of God preached. First Corinthians chapter 1. From our reading. Verse number 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Notice in verse number 17, Paul using that statement that he was sent to preach the gospel, which has already been identified for us from Romans, is the power of God. He speaks about the cross of Christ in the last part of verse number 17. He speaks about the preaching of the cross. And in this context, as we continue through a few more verses, understand that the preaching that is going to be spoken of is the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Keep this in context now. The preaching he's about to speak about in verse number 21 is the preaching of the gospel, is the preaching of the cross. Reference in verse 17 and 18. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It didn't please God to use foolish preaching. It didn't please God to use preaching in general, or a man's ability to preach or publicly speak. But it pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to save the lost. And none are ever saved without the preaching of the gospel. Preaching saves sinners. I think about all the ways that I've seen the gospel dispensed. How many different things have been done in the name of the gospel. And no matter what new thing they come up with, you keep being brought back in Scripture that God uses the foolishness of preaching. Amen. What about this way? What about that way? God uses the foolishness of preaching. Amen. You can't improve upon that. It's the foolishness of the preaching of the cross. It's the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God has chosen to save. And God is once again allowing you to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. God is having the gospel preached to you one more time, as he has had the gospel preached to most of you many times and for many years. One more time, he's letting the foolishness of preaching bring before you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. And it's that gospel that still results in the salvation of souls. It is still that gospel that the Holy Spirit seemingly ignites and it explodes to make a difference. It's the power of God unto salvation to save them that believe. See, there's a particular working there. The gospel is preached. It's the power of God and salvation. It's not the power of God to salvation for everyone. It's not the power of God unto salvation for everybody that's here tonight. It's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, who will hear the preaching of the cross, who will hear the preaching of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for sinners. Those that will have the gospel explode in all of its power to say, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ died for sinners. It'll grant you faith to believe. Pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 again. We read it earlier. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Rather, they're Jew or Gentile, no matter who they are, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. Can you hear the gospel? Can you hear the power described in the gospels? Will the Holy Spirit ignite that gospel in all of its power? Will it explode upon your life saying, you're the sinner. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. Can you hear him explode with all of his power saying, he died for you. Can you believe? Will you believe to the saving of your soul? Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have to be offended by that word. Whosoever means whosoever. Shall call upon the name of the Lord. How shall they call? In whom? Upon whom they have not believed. How can they believe without hearing? Please God by the foolishness of preaching. You hear the gospel. You believe. You call. When the gospel is preached, God is talking. That's a bold statement, isn't it? God has chosen the people to salvation, sent Jesus Christ to die for them, saves them in time completely according to his will. Protects, preserves, and causes them to persevere. And when God sends somebody out to preach the gospel, and it explodes in all of its power, God himself is speaking through that messenger. God himself is speaking through that preacher. Calling you to salvation. So you got to get beyond the preacher. You got to get beyond human instrumentality. You've got to see the power of God is in the gospel. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. And when the gospel is preached, God is speaking. God is speaking to lost souls here tonight. God is saying, you're a sinner without hope, but I sent my son to die. Repent and believe. God is speaking to someone here tonight. And God will be responded to in one of two fashions. Either the soul will repent and believe by the grace of God, or they'll turn him away. But understand, the power of God is found in the gospel. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. And when the gospel is preached, irregardless of who the human instrumentality is, God is speaking to sinners. And God is saying to some here tonight, you're lost. You know you're lost. You can pretend and you can be religious and you can fool everybody in the world. But God is speaking and he's saying to some, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. I sent my son to die for the lost. God is saying, I hope to someone, he died for you. Believe. He died for you. It's the power of God unto salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now listen. Paul says he's an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you, begged and pleaded and requested with you, by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, be reconciled to God. Those that preach the gospels are ambassadors for Christ. And through the ambassadors of Christ, God beseeches lost sinners, pleads with lost sinners. Pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Save the lost. We pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, dead and depraved. There's nothing they can do about it. But God has chosen to make a difference in some. And God has chosen to save. And God has placed those he's chosen to be saved in Christ before the foundation of the world. In time, Jesus Christ came and he died for all those that had been given him. He completely saves those that are brought to him in faith, and they persevere. And all of that comes to the climax in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, where the Lord says to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not every creature, not everybody's going to be saved, but you go and you preach it to everybody you have opportunity to preach it to, because I'm going to save some. Because I have a people I've chosen to salvation. I have a people that my son has died for. I have a people that I'm going to save and I'm going to bring to glory one day. Go ye and preach it to all. See, the doctrines of grace and what we believe about salvation doesn't result in hardshellism. It results in our being a missionary Baptist church and our obeying the Great Commission by going out into all the world and preaching the gospel, because it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And the change and the need that you need to be made in your life is through this message of the gospel. Do you hear God saying, nobody else around, but do you hear God saying, you're a sinner? All are sinners. All have sinned. Do you hear God saying, the wages of sin is death, the second death, eternal separation? Do you hear God saying, but the gift that I offer is salvation through faith in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? We believe God has a chosen people to salvation, and every one of them are going to be saved, but every one of them are going to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. Nothing new is needed. Nothing new is worth having, worth seeking out. Is God speaking? Are we going to have a verse of invitation and once again have the lost turn a deaf ear to God speaking? If that's the case, understand nothing's going to change tomorrow, nothing's going to change next week, nothing's going to change next year. Your greatest need is always going to be to hear God speaking to you through his church, through his messengers, about the glory of his salvation and the power that's in the gospel and in the preaching of the gospel. Let's stand together. Have a verse of song.